Just curious, how many of you in the room saw pictures or heard things or felt like you started getting insight or revelation about something that had nothing to do with what we were singing? Raise your hand if that was you. A couple people? Trying to figure out where I even start with this. Is it fair to say, hopefully we're all in agreement, that God speaks through pictures and analogies, yes? Similes, metaphors. Jesus is a lion. Jesus is a lamb. Jesus is a shepherd. We are a tree. Our heart is soil. God's word is a seed. The Spirit is like the wind. The Spirit is like fire. The Spirit is like oil. The Holy Spirit is like a river. Right? He uses tons and tons and tons of analogies and pictures to speak to us. We were in Bosnia in a worship setting, and I kept seeing pictures of Jesus in the middle of a room laying back on a lounge chair. And we weren't walking around, we weren't moving, but I saw each and every one of us had a little bowl of clay, a little clay pot, and inside was a incense that was burning. And this incense had a color and it had a smell. And each one of us in the room had a different color and a different fragrance. And as we were worshiping, in this vision, I saw us walking around Jesus, and he was just breathing in all these fragrances that were coming off of us, and all these colors were mingling together, just creating this beautiful, just colored, swirling smoke that he was just taking these giant breaths through his nostrils and just enjoying every individual scent. And somehow, like, the color tasted different to him. Every color tasted different. And I saw while we were worshiping that we were in the throne room of heaven. We were in heaven. And the Father was there, and angels and people and creatures were worshiping him. And there was sound and music. But the colors and the fragrances were coming off of Jesus. It was radiating off of God. And that's what heaven is like. It's full of color. God is every color. All colors are in the color white, in light outside. We can diffuse it with a prism, or we can diffuse it with a cloud, with rain, and we see rainbow. We see all the colors of the rainbow, but it's all contained in that light. And this is just the sense that I got. And in Isaiah 11, it talks about the Spirit of God, and he's the Spirit of wisdom. He's the Spirit of understanding. He's the Spirit of counsel. He's the Spirit of might. He's the Spirit of knowledge. He's the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. He's a sevenfold Spirit, and he's one. But here's the sense that I got, and this is what I want us actually all to meditate on and then press into. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that is our reality. We are in heaven right now. That is our reality. I just want you to begin to just breathe in. And I want you to begin to just smell all the individual fragrances that are coming off of God. And see the different rainbow colors that are coming off of God. Jesus is healing. Jesus is hope. He's life. He's light. He's peace. He's joy. He's love. He's patience. He's kindness. Just breathe Him in. Just breathe Him in. For those that need healing, He comes to us as a healer. For those who need comfort, He comes to us as a comforter. For those who need hope, He comes as the giver of hope. Just soak in the atmosphere of heaven. There's fragrance. There's color. There's life. I'm just going to go out on a limb, but I think the Lord is going to give some of you a word for someone else in this room. Whether it's a color, whether it's a fragrance, or whether it's one of the characteristics of God that He's coming to an individual for this certain thing. If the Lord speaks to you, maybe He's coming corporately with a certain fragrance, with a certain color, right? Certain characteristic, a certain aspect of who He is. If you get something, just come up in the middle.
This is for Zach specifically. What I'm seeing the Lord doing in you, He's raising you up to be a mighty warrior. I see the characteristics of God being a warrior, a mighty warrior. So He's building that character in you, Zach. You are a mighty warrior in Christ Jesus, in the strength and in the power of the Lord.
So, I don't know who this is depicted at, but for once in my life, I didn't feel any trepidation, any anxiety that was going to hit anybody, because I always feel that for some reason. And I just closed my eyes, and I waved my flag, and I was like, I breathed in, and all I scented was crushed berries and pine. I opened my eyes, I couldn't taste it anymore, but there was a sweet hint of cinnamon threaded through every single smell I could taste, every single smell I could see. Every single thing I could see was threaded with this scent of cinnamon. And when I closed my eyes, there was a scent of crushed berries and pine.
Come on.
And God bless all of you. God keep you. I wish you all a long life. Be fruitful and multiply. Thank you.
Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. Jesus. Jesus is the grape that was crushed. He is the one that was crushed so that we could experience the new wine, the joy. Pine speaks of evergreen, new life. It's always green. Always green. Never brown. Always green, always alive.
Yes, while we were singing those songs, it talked about God is everything, that he is, what is the words that we were singing was, I'm tongue twisted. The words, what were the words? He's everything.
Your
love changes everything. Thank you. And that's everything. That's not just some things. That's everything. And this is your daily bread. This is your daily bread. When I was looking around and we were singing that song, the other people had tears in their eyes besides me and snot running down your face. It wasn't just me alone. God is that person. He's everything. He's everything. And we have to realize that the things that go on inside our head are just things that are going inside our head, that they're not placed there by God. They're placed there by just life. And God is everything. And let him, I'm speaking to myself too, let him soak inside of us and be part of us so that we can take on these things that happen to us every single day. This is a beautiful family. We were here the other night for that first Love Friday. I felt like I was at a wedding. I didn't want to leave. At the end of it, I felt like I was at this wedding. And nobody got married, but it was just a beautiful place to be. So thank you.
Amen. Come on. That's awesome. Judy, Judy, did you have something? Claire, did you have something? All right, don't be shy. Come on up.
I smelled frankincense and myrrh, and it's my understanding that those were part of the watch the lady poured out upon Jesus' feet. And they're healing oils, and when they go into your body, into your cellular level, it's like it preserves you, it preserves your body. So I know that God is healing people here today, and I that specifically was like for you, Sue. I felt like there's healing in your hands, and that when you go and you minister to people, God is saying you don't really realize to the great capacity that what he sees, that when you touch them, he's releasing that healing power through you to touch on people's lives, and it goes so much deeper than the physical body. And I kept seeing, and I think that's corporately healing, if you want to reach out and just grab that. But I kept feeling the Lord move in the arches like this of people's feet. And he was pulling them up to higher places. And the Bible talks about that you'll run like a deer on the high places. And you're skipping through the valley, through the areas. So I just feel like God wants to encourage you that you can come up higher because he's given you new arches to just leap over those things. So, Father, I thank you for letting people come to that place. Hey! They can leap over the obstacles and the circumstances that seems to get you. Because if your foot is arched, it's not touching down on that ground. It comes up. So if you feel that coming up, you're coming up higher with him. So I bless that.
All right, everybody. Just breathe in. Just breathe in. If you need healing, just reach out your hand, receive it in faith, and just stick it on your body. The Lord is here. He's here. This isn't pretend. This isn't make believe. This is the language of the Spirit. This is how God communicates his realities. How many of you have seen Mary Poppins? Or no, I'm sorry. It's not Mary Poppins. There's actually, yes, it is. There's a scene. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe there's two scenes that are similar in Mary Poppins and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. They're laughing in Mary Poppins, right? And they float up into the air. That's a Mary Poppins thing, right? So I was in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, they're drinking fizzy lifting drink, right? And they're up in the air. Jesus is fizzy lifting drink. He is fizzy lifting drink. He has raised us up. So just breathe him in or drink him in, whatever it is. Jesus lifts you up. He'll fill your lungs with helium and take you to higher places. Yiriyara baba.
No. I want to go next too. So. Okay, my phone shut up. Okay, we were in the prayer room. Where's Katie? There she is. Yeah. Okay, so we were in the prayer room this morning, and Gabrielle was praying about new wine, you know, about just new wine. And when she said new wine, what I heard was Glühwein, right? I didn't say anything in there, but I heard Glühwein. And And I looked up Glühwein when we were in the prayer room, but I just thought it was so interesting because you were talking about like the spices and everything, and Glühwein is a German wine, and Miss Gabrielle is going to be preaching this morning or sharing, and so we got a little German wine coming out of her bottle this morning. But it's made with red wine and spiced with cinnamon sticks and cloves and star anise. And so you said that you were smelling, you know, when we were smelling, you said you were smelling cinnamon. But anyway, just wanted to encourage you, you know, that you're sensing the Spirit of God and He loves you so much. Yeah, He loves you so much. Yes, of course you can. Yes, He loves you so much. And the spice that came to my mind was myrrh. Because we've been doing the Song of Solomon on Thursdays. And, you know, one of the verses says, my lover is to me a flask of myrrh. No, so it, and it talks about just holding that close to you. And it represents a suffering love. You know, Jesus' love for us was, he suffered. Suffering was part of that love. And we all go through seasons, you know, where people may not know it, but on the very, you know, insides of us, we're suffering. But when we're suffering, we can hold that flask of myrrh close to us and realize the suffering love of Christ, that he identifies with us and we can identify with him and share in his suffering as we draw near to, you know, his side. And just we fellowship in the suffering with him, and he is, you know, our comfort. He is our hope. He is, and I know that's for several people in here, just to, you know, hold that flask of myrrh close to your heart and just know that the Lord is with you no matter what is going on the, you know, recesses of your heart.
If that's you, close your eyes and just breathe that in. He is here specifically to impart that to you. Just smell it, breathe it in, receive it.
I feel like there's some people in here that want to quit, that want to just lay down and stop. And God is not calling us to stop. He's calling us to stand firm in Him and know who you are. Walk with the power that He's given us. Know what is inside of you. We're here to be the light in a very dark place right now. We're here to shine the light in a very dark place right now. He's coming to kiss every single wound that is in here. He's coming to bless and heal every single wound that is in here. He is calling us to stand and to shine Him, to be Him with skin on for those that need a hug, that those that need food, those that need a home, those that need love. He is love. We're called to be love in a very dark world. Thank you, Lord. I bless this church with the shining God's love, Lord. I thank you, God, for people that love you truly with all of their heart and are here to serve you with their heart, Lord. Help us to serve you, Lord, with our heart, Lord. Help us to surrender all of us, Lord, and to just say, Lord, be our guide, be our shepherd, be our everything, Lord. Everything we don't have, Lord, fill it so we can pour it out. And I pray that, Lord, over this church, let us be pourers of love in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Much better.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree. I feel like one of the signs that God is going to confirm, if you feel like that word is for you, that you have felt like giving up, that you have felt like quitting, in whatever form that is, I want you to stand up right now if you're not already standing. God is coming with a spirit of might. He's coming with a spirit of courage and a spirit of strength. And as you just breathe that in and receive that, you are going to feel literally like you're stretching higher and growing taller. Just breathe that in. Literally. I feel like some people are going to feel like you literally grew like a foot. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, to me, this is kind of weird. The whole time during the worship service, this is the phrase that kept ringing in my head. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Now, normally, we think of, like, motherhood when that phrase comes. And I told her, I said, I didn't quite understand what this meant. She says, you will when you get up there. But I know that Jesus is the hand that's rocking the cradle right now. And I feel like He's here, and there are things being birthed in this church, and He is the one that's rocking the cradle and watching over what the new life that's coming forth, the new things that He's birthing. And I also want to say to anybody who feels like you're in an obscure place doing something obscure, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. It's in those obscure, silent, hidden places that God does His mightiest works. After all, Jesus came as a baby in a very obscure stable in a very obscure place on planet Earth. So, I mean, there's probably more that I haven't unwrapped about this yet, but it just keeps ringing in my spirit that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And I really feel like God's birthing something here. I don't understand this. I didn't want anyone to come up here because they're like, what the? What's this? But, you know, there it is.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's awesome. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just close your eyes and receive that comfort. Embrace that weakness. Babies, they don't self-comfort, and you rock a cradle to comfort. That baby's pretty much stuck and helpless. But the God of the universe is right there, comforting and looking over you in that place. So just breathe that in. Breathe in His presence. Breathe in His comfort. Breathe in the fact that you're going to grow out of that cradle. And that one that's rocking the cradle is your heavenly daddy. He's God Almighty. Ha. Jesus.
So I was thinking about how, like, sometimes I really feel like giving up, you know, just if I'm not necessarily in the mood to pursue God, or I'm not in the mood to worship, I'm just sort of tired or exhausted. And my dad said something, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that really stuck out to me. He said that, he was saying that if you had, let's say, an envelope with $500 in it, and you put it in your drawer, and then you went to your drawer and you looked for it and it wasn't there, then you wouldn't just be like, oh, okay, well, you know, it's gone. You would look for it in your house until you found it. You would tear things down. You would look for it. You'd take everything out of your drawers. You would look for it until you found it. And so that just, I was thinking about that, and I was meditating on that, and it's sort of like, that's how God wants us to pursue Him. And I feel like a lot of us, including me, it's like we sort of just kind of, the fire died out, you know. It's not as pursuing God as we should have been, but it's like you should always be pursuing God as if He's a lost $500 bill, and you're searching for Him until you find that $500 bill.
Come on. I like that.
Okay, so this thing's been going on with me lately. It's kind of crazy. I think of a lot of words that rhyme. So this started happening this morning and during worship. And so I'm just going to read this. It's the Lord says, I'm going to destroy your prior indoctrination and bring you from condemnation to desperation to adoration, to anticipation, to invigoration to carry the message to the nations, free of rationalizations and over speculations and procrastination.
Come on.
You will be my personification for my magnification with Holy Spirit stimulation.
Come on. Woo! All right, Keith, if you don't turn that into a song, you're fired. That is awesome. That has to be a song. That has to be a song.
Yep. During worship, I got, I was listening to the song, You Are the Air That I Breathe, and I was smelling roses. And Jesus is the air that we breathe. And if as long as we're breathing him in, we don't have to worry about disease.
Yep. Come on. Come on. Come on. Shaw.
Wow. I just feel like he wants us to.
You gotta hold it close.
Okay. You were talking about the movie. I'm not sure because I don't remember either one of them. But I was reminded of, I saw a picture of Peter Pan. Remember when he was sprinkling the pixie dust? And then we got light. Well, it was a picture of us becoming very light. Very light and floating, but illuminating and being illuminated. And when she mentioned the cinnamon, that was the first little sparkle that I saw in the air. And then also Kim mentioning being light. So then you said, you know, the two movies, and I'm like, that's what it is. We're being sprinkled, but we're not just being sprinkled like over our head. It's consuming us, and we're becoming that light, and we're becoming afloat. And he just really wants us to just leave it. The burdens, the heaviness, the guilt, the shame, the lies, the pain, all that. It's not for us. It keeps us grounded. It keeps us to the ground. But he wants us to be grounded in him. And when we make that transition, when we make that exchange, he gives us light. He allows us to float, and I love that freedom. I love that freedom, and I think it's for us, it's a taste of who we truly are, because we are in him, and when we are, we could get lost just a floating in light and dance, so let it be.
Come on, breathe in his freedom. Breathe in his freedom.
I don't know if you guys noticed how many people came up that were wearing blue. Because you said colors.
Yeah.
Blue is the third primary color. Spiritually, it signifies healing power of God. It is the most sublime subject and the color which represents biblical, the word of God. The very fact that the sky is blue stands for providence and Yahweh.
Come on. Thank you, Lord. 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 All right, well, turn to your neighbor. Sprinkle some anointing on them. Tell them you're blessed of the Lord. Time to fly. Time to fly. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worship team, thank you so much. That was awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah, you can give them a hand. They deserve it. Give honor to those who deserve honor. Can I call the kids up real quick? No, over here, over here, over here, over here, over here. Over here, over here. Yeah. All right, stretch out your hands to these guys. Lord, thank you for that picture this morning of the fizzy lifting drink. It was that childlike joy. And it was the laughter in that scene in Mary Poppins. It was the laughter that made them float. And Lord, you pointed to little kids just like these. And you said, you adults need to be like them. So thank you for these living examples to us. We ask, Lord, that you would just flood them, overflow them with your love and your joy and your peace. And we ask that you would teach them, and we bless them in your name, Jesus. And bless the teachers. Amen. Let heaven's presence reign in those classrooms. Amen. Love you guys. Have fun. All right, if I could get the ushers to pass the baskets. I think they're somewhere. I don't know. There's one. I don't know where the other one's at. It was over there, I think. So I want to take up our offering. I just want to encourage you. Obviously, it costs money to have heating and air conditioning and lights and to rent this building and do all that stuff. So, yes, we need your money. And yes, God wants it to come from your pocket. Why does he do that? Well, because he wants us to be giver like him. There's almost nothing that demonstrates our faith and our trust in the Lord more than our checkbook and our time. So you can see someone's priorities, you can see their values by looking at their calendar, see what they're spending their time on, and look at their checkbook, see what they're spending their money on. So we want to be generous like the Lord. We want to honor him with our finances. Money is a seed. It is a seed, and we have the opportunity to take that seed, to plant it into his kingdom. When we give it to the Lord, we plant it in his kingdom, and he grows it, and he multiplies it. We want this culture, we want heaven's culture to multiply. Man, the world is lost, 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 because so many of them think that they're found, and they're not. We need to spread the kingdom of God. So we do that with finances as well. So be generous, be courageous, be trusting of your Heavenly Father, and trust that he is going to multiply it back into your life. It may not be multiplied back in the form of money, but he always gives a blessing. It is really true. You cannot outgive the Lord. He will not be a debtor to anybody. He will not be a debtor to anybody. So thank you, Lord, for all your gifts. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you that we are in a land that is prosperous. Lord, thank you that we can take our time and the works of our hands and ideas that you have given us, and we can translate them into provision for ourselves and into provision for other people. And we ask that this money that we are giving to you this morning, Lord, that you would multiply it and you would use it to bring revival. Use it to bring revival in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, we have to change the time of our what's that called? Yard sale. That's it. I was going to say garage sale, but I'm like, we don't have a garage. Our yard sale. We are doing it with these other two businesses here, so we're going to have a big giant yard sale for all three businesses. So it will more than likely attract a lot of people. So that date change has been pushed back to April. So mark your calendars if you would. Pull out your cell phone. Put a reminder, April 25th, and we'll give you some more details as that date gets closer. What are the other announcements? I don't know. I didn't even grab my paper. Men's breakfast, March 21st, which I think is the third Saturday of the month. I could be wrong on that, but we're going to meet at K&W at 8:30 on Saturday, March 21st. So men and boys, mark your calendars for that. Yes, we also need some volunteers to clean over the weekends. Some of you are messy, and you just are. but we need vacuumer, people to vacuum, people to come in, clean the bathrooms, mop the kitchen, mop the bathrooms, do things like that. So if you would, please, if you haven't signed up for a Saturday, It's right there on that red table. You can sign your name to volunteer for a slot for that day, and then put it on your cell phone and set a reminder for yourself. So I think that's it for the announcements. Gabrielle, where are you hiding? Probably right in front of my face. Okay. Do you want that pulpit thingy? Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. That'll probably work. If I can get it out without knocking the guitar over. You want on the carpet? On the rug? Right here? There we go. This is the anointed spot. Make yourself taller. All right, I can make this shorter. Where do you want it? There you go. All right. Where do you want this? How high do you want it?
Hang on, let me see. A little higher, please.
Right there? Okay. Cool.
It's not going to work.
You can do that.
Oh, okay, yes.
You can do it like that, too.
Okay, perfect. All right.
There you go. Have fun.
Thank you. Okay, yes, we're having fun already. More fun. All righty. Wow. So this has been already good start. Good worship, good words. And so a lot of that is going to be confirming even what the Lord is saying through the word here. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, right now, Lord, that I am your mouthpiece. And you are speaking what everybody is needing to hear. That everybody's going to hear what it is you want them to hear. Thank you, Lord. So we started last week with the prophetic word of, 2020 vision to see beyond. And, you know, we talked about what we're coming into in 2020, in this year, in this decade. It's a new decade, a new era. Change and transformation and a shift. And I thought it's interesting, you know, today we literally are changing the time. So I just love how God always confirms things. And in our worship, love changes everything. His love changes everything. And actually, I saw the Lord himself throw the change in the middle of the room today. So change, you know, into the air. So, but I want to, you know, about the shift. I don't know if any of you guys are feeling a shift inside of you. I'm feeling a shift. And it's like, it feels like, you know, I'm too small and I need to enlarge. That's what it feels like. And like about a week ago or so, I happened to see a GIF on Facebook, and it was of this little boy, this baby that couldn't hear, and he was getting new hearing aids, but he was crying because, you know, somebody's messing with his ears, and he's crying, and then all of a sudden, his face lights up and his eyes get great and big, and you can tell he can hear for the first time. He's hearing his daddy's and mommy's voice. And I lost it and I wept. And you know, this is how I know something is shifting, because I wept because I was like, Lord, we should be the one to be able to provide for those that don't hear, that, you know, like Jesus did. We should be, and not, you know, the medical community. I mean, I'm grateful for the medical community, but it's like, I wept. I wept because I just saw, you know, the pain and the suffering in human being, and, you know, that we have the answer. So, starting out with that, last week, we, you know, I mentioned about the coming out of the box, and Casey kind of started that with the week before with the children, you know, that were doing the crafts. And anyway, so she already started about, you know, the out of the box. And we got to start getting comfortable with an out of the box type of experience and not put God in a box. But anyway, the Lord was talking about, you know, coming out of the box of confinement, of old mindsets, boundaries and limitations, and out of barrenness, specifically from Isaiah 54. Can I get the first picture? In case somebody wasn't here last week, I want to put the picture up again, because this is the year that we're in. We're in, no, the Hebrew letter, please. Anyway, so in the Hebrew, we're at the year 5780, in the decade of 80, and that is linked with a letter, Pei. It's called Pei. Okay, they're going to put it up there. Anyway, so it has the numerical value of 80, and it, you know, correlates with our calendar of 2020. We're in 2020, which is prophetically is speaking of 2020 vision, okay? The decade of the 70 in the Hebrew was the year of the I, the I-N, where God was just really working with us to improve our seeing, you know, just being able to see in the spirit realm and what he's doing. And in 2020, this is kind of coming into a completion where he wants us to kind of see 2020 vision, see clearly. But in the, okay, the next one after that one. No, the next one after that one. Okay, that's not the same email that I sent you this morning. Oh, okay. All right. Yes, this one. No, I had two pictures on that too, but it's okay. We got them on this one. Thank you. All right, so that's the big letter. That's the pay. And you can see inside of that letter is another letter, which is hidden, and it's on the side, and that's the letter bet. The letter bet in the Hebrew means tent or house. So the picture here is that there is a house inside the mouth, because the pay letter means mouth. So the prophetic picture for the year of 5780 or 2020 in our calendar is that there is a house inside the mouth. All right. So just wanted to kind of review that, because sometimes it might be kind of hard to, you know, relate for what's going to go on from now on. So I'm for today, the Lord gave me Malachi chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. But in verse 1, he's actually talking about judgment and that the fire of God is going to be burning up evil and, you know, stubble and hay and all. There's nothing going to be left. And so we were singing about fire in the wind. You know, there is fire in the wind, but that fire burns up all of that. That is not of God. But then verse 2 is encouraging, and it says, but for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. So did we just talk about healing and wings or rays? Did Stacy talk about the colors? You know, so Jesus is wing and ray. He's like the sun. He's the Son of Righteousness, and he has rays that he's just shining on us. They're colorful lights of healing. So it's health and wholeness, healing in every way. And then it says, and you will go out. Kim's word, you will go out, or you will go free and frolic like well-fed calves. So that lightness and the joy and the skipping. So, you know, once the healing comes and, you know, we're being, and then it says, you know, you're going to be released from the stall. It's like calves being released from the stall. And you frolic and you dance and you skip and you're light and, you know, you're free and you're going out. You're not stuck in the stall. And then it says that when that happens, you're going to trample down on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord. So, you know, we're not created to be tied up, right? We're not created to be tied up in a stall. You know, but we're created to go out and to be free and to frolic. By the way, the glühwein also glows. I mean, not really, but the glüh means glow. So, yes, yeah, glow wine. Yes, so. So we need to be walking around like little glow wines, be the light in the earth. Anyway, okay, so you know, he created us to go out and to be free and to be all that God has created us to be. So 5 or 6 years ago, I had a dream of two tsunami waves, you know, tidal waves, humongous, coming. I mean, I never been anywhere else except the East Coast, so. And I was in a hotel, I was cleaning, and usually in a dream, if it's a prophetic dream, if I'm dreaming a hotel, I'm in cleaning hotel. It represents the cleansing of the church that's coming. And I was on the middle floor. The first wave just went through. It went to the middle floor, but nothing changed. So then the second wave came. And on the second wave, far away, it was humongous. I saw like steamboats on the top of it with like red smoke coming out the top. And when that wave hit, it washed through the hotel. And then I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, that hotel is going to be gone. But it wasn't. So when I turned the opposite direction to the other side, you know, of the hotel, and I looked out the window, there were all these soldiers on the ground with boots on. And so it's like, you know, an army is arising. It's what the Lord was saying through the dream. An army is arising with boots on the ground. They're coming out, you know, from the stall. They're being released from the stall to go out into the world, you know, like mighty warriors. And I feel like this second wave is either coming or we're already in it. But I feel like it's now that second wave is happening. And again, you know, with the Kansas, you know, Chiefs that we talked about last time and all the number two confirmations, you know, I just felt like the second wave, the Lord spoke to me about all of this kind of being, you know, initiated right now. And, you know, God, the prophecy from Bob Jones that God is raising up apostolic chiefs. But there is a battle. And 2 Chronicles 20, which is the scripture the Lord gave me with the twos, which is 2 Chronicles 20:20. So for 2020, there is a battle. It's a vast army that comes against Judah and against Jehoshaphat. And Judah represents us because, you know, Christ was from the tribe of Judah. And so it represents all of us. Judah represents all of us, even Christians included. And so there was a king, so a vast army came against the people of God. And so Jehoshaphat, he was afraid, but what he did, he set his face to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast all throughout the year. I mean, all throughout Judah. And so all Judah assembled together to seek help from the Lord. So there's unity. You know, he called them together in unity to come before the Lord. You know, during the Civil War, the loyal states of the United States became known as the Union. And so the United States, you know, and believe it or not, there actually was a ship in North Carolina that was called Frolic. And at first was called the CSS Advance, which was, you know, the Confederate state ship. Then it was changed. Then it was captured by the U.S. Navy, and it was renamed and made to be a gunboat, and it was called the USS Advance. And then in the end, after the Civil War, they called it Frolic. Anyway, so just, you know, put that in the prophetic picture of what God is saying here. But, you know, the question is, who's going to advance? You know, God says, you know, okay, what's the scripture? The kingdom of God is advancing and the violent take it by force. So, you know, but it's not without a battle. So we were kind of talking about, you know, us having difficulties and things like that. You know, it's a battle. But anyway, you know, in this story, one of the keys of victory was us coming together into unity, okay? That was the first key of victory right there. So then Jehoshaphat, you know, the king, he prays and he praises the Lord and, you know, gives glory to him, reminds him of his covenant and all that, you know, made with Abraham and Isaac, you know, that they would get the land. And then he says to the Lord, and now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, and he's basically saying, hey, you know, we've been good to them. We didn't drive them out. And now they're going to turn around and they're going to reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, Lord, which you have given us to inherit. And he says, our God, will you not execute judgment on them? And then he continues on. He says, for we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I've been praying that a lot lately. I do not know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Sometimes daily. Help! I do not know what to do, but my eyes are on you. You know, when you're in a battle, that's a good place. That's the best thing you can do. You know, when you don't know what to do, just put your eyes on him. You know, say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. This and this is happening, but you said. So, So key of victory number two is humility and not trying to do it in our own strength. So then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. His name means God sees, okay? 2020, God sees. I lost my track. Okay, so he was a Levite from Asaph's descendants. As he stood in the midst of the assembly, he said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged, because this vast army, for the battle does not belong to you, but to God." So then he says, "Tomorrow you are to march down against them. You will see them coming up the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley facing the wilderness of Jeruel." So the Lord was exposing the plan of the enemy and the enemy's position. So then he continues on, "You need not to fight this battle. Take up your positions," Miss Kim, your word. "Take up your position, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem." Then he says again, "Do not be afraid." So key, another key of victory. He said it twice, "Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged." He says, "Go out and face them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." We got to recognize in the midst of the battle that we're not alone, that the Lord is with us. So it's time for us to face our enemy. You know, but even though God just said to them, "You don't have to fight this battle because the battle is the Lord," they still had to go out and face the enemy. They had to take up their position and stand firm, you know, and a lot of times, I guess we think, you know, when it says, "Oh, you don't have to fight this battle, the battle is the Lord's," we think we can just sit back and not do nothing, but that's not true. We have to take up our position in Christ, our position of faith, and we have to stand firm, because when the battle is on, you know, the enemy is going to try to knock you out and knock you over. So we got to be in our positions. So this is the other key for victory, is to take up your position where God, you know, has placed you to be. That's important. You know, each one of us has a place and a position in the army of the Lord where God assigns us to be. So take up your position and stand firm. So that's another key. Then Jehoshaphat bowed face down, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down before the Lord to worship him. So another key of victory is to worship the Lord. And then the Levites from the different tribes there stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, shouting in a very loud voice. All of these are pay actions, okay? Very loud voice, worship. So it's another key of victory right there. I said last time, the enemy has a big mouth too. You know, this is the year of the mouth, but the enemy has a mouth. And so our pay or our mouth has to be louder, has to be speaking louder than the mouth of the enemy. Our mouth needs to just get bigger. It's okay for us to have a big mouth before the Lord. He's not going to say to us, "Oh, shut your big mouth." He loves it if we're going to have a big mouth, you know, before him and declare his praise and his goodness. Or his victory. So anyway, 2 Chronicles 20:20, Jehoshaphat, which, by the way, his name means God has judged, okay? God has judged. So in other words, God has judged, stood up and said, "Hear me, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Believe in his prophets and you will succeed." So another key is to believe, have faith, believe in God, have faith, believe in the prophets. I mean, like, you know, the Bob Jones prophecy, which is over our nation, and the victory that the Kansas City Chiefs have won. Believe the prophets, you know, and we can declare that victory. We can come before the Lord and declare that victory. So then Jehoshaphat consulted with the people and appointed those who would sing to the Lord and praise the splendor of his holiness. As they went out before the army, they were singing, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving devotion endures forever." So another key of victory is thanksgiving. See and, you know, to see and praise him for who he really is, you know, to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. Directly, you know, direct, praising him for the splendor of his holiness. That's really powerful.
And thanksgiving is so powerful. It's a weapon. It's a key of victory. So then in verse 22, the moment they began their shouts and praises, their pay, the Lord set ambushes against the enemy who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. So the Ammonites, Moabites rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, and they ended up destroying, you know, each other. And when the army of Judah arrived at that lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw was dead bodies laying all over the ground, as far as they could see, and not one single enemy had escaped. So how many of you guys know that there's a battle going on? Okay. So we need eyes of faith. We need 20/20 vision. Because, you know, seems like a battle feels like it's increasing, okay? We need to rise up and have eyes of faith to see the victory over all the power of the enemy that Jesus has given us. And what we focus on is what we empower, right? We can't go where we can't see. We can't have that victory if we can't see it. So in the midst of the battle, we need to arrive at that lookout point like they did, okay, in the spirit, in our wilderness, in our battle, and all that they saw was dead bodies all over the place. That's what all we need to see. All we need to see is the enemy defeated and crushed by Jesus Christ all over the place. As far as we can see, all we got to see is the victory. So and the Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Yes. I bet you that after they saw all that, they probably were singing that song. We just want a victory. We just want a victory. I really was hoping for that song today. Oh, okay. She got the prophetic message. Okay. It's just an awesome, powerful song, especially now when you realize, you know, that when you're singing the battle is the Lord's, you're not just not doing nothing. You're standing in your position in Christ Jesus in faith, declaring, you know, and remembering his promises. And you're standing in your position of authority that he's given you. Anyway, after that, what happened, they went and gathered all the plunder. There was so much plunder of valuable goods that it took them 3 days to gather and collect all of the plunder. So you know what? People of God, get ready for the collection. Get ready for some collection to come to us. Amen. Get ready for some collection of plunder, because we're going to take back some ground of what the enemy has captured and stolen. So they were overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies, and they marched back to Jerusalem, you know, like a procession of worship with all kinds of instrument and singing and all that. And when all the surrounding kingdoms heard that, the fear of the Lord broke out when they heard how the Lord had, you know, defeated their enemies, how the Lord had defeated Israel's enemies. And then there was rest. You know, there was rest in the land. I'm going to go back to the specific 02/02/2020. That's the day that the Chiefs won the victory of the Super Bowl. And how you can read that date forward and backwards. And it all depends on perspective. You know, how you're going to look at it. Are you going to look at things backward or forward? From the left or to the right? The right. Anyway, perspective is so key. What you see is so key. So we've been kind of going over all the numbers. And for some reason, the Lord has just been speaking to me with a lot of numbers this year. And I don't know if any of you guys see a lot of 11-11. Who sees 11-11 a lot? Okay. But now I see it on a continuous basis, especially last year. I'm just now starting to see 2-2-2-2. I mean, just within the last, okay. Yes. Woo-hoo-hoo. Yes, I've seen some 4-4-4-4-2. Yeah. Okay, so 11-11, I mean, it's like a type of 11th hour,
just like, you know, they won in the very end of the fourth quarter with a double portion, you know, comeback. So a type of 11th hour. And two scriptures the Lord gave me with 11:11. And it was interesting because John Pate posted on our Facebook page on Monday at 11:11 about spiritual warfare. I was like, oh, okay. So my first scripture was John 11:11, and it says, then Jesus added, Lazarus, our friend, has just fallen asleep. It's time that I go and awaken him. Say, it's time. It's time to awaken. It's not too late. It's never too late. Don't never give up. Amen. Anyway, so God is awakening. There's a move of God awakening America, awakening the church, and it's not too late. And the other scripture was Hebrews 11:11, and in that it says, Sarah's faith embraced God's miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing, for the authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness. And that's the key. We have to, you know, we have to tap into his faithfulness and into the one, you know, that made the promise. We can't produce anything within our own selves, you know, but, and it, you know, we have to also realize, you know, in the heavenly, it's already done. Everything God has already provided, and it's finished. But here on earth, we still have to bring the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Well, here on earth, there's a time issue and a time limitation. And sometimes it takes time until those promises, you know, come into birthing. It took Sarah 25 years. It's a long time. And in her case, again, it just seemed like it was too late. You know, her womb was dead. Abraham pretty much was as good as dead. And anyway, but they, you know, they held on to the promise. They held on. They didn't give up. And now we have a better covenant than they had, with better promises. So how much more should we hold on and not, you know, give up just because it's not happening instantly, like in the microwave? Okay. I don't think there are any microwaves in heaven. Anyway, so let God be true and his word be true, period. And everything else that says otherwise, let it be a liar. And just, you know, call it a lie. So last week I kind of mentioned Isaiah 54:1, and I felt like this was for our house specifically, you know, where he tells us, sing, or O barren one who did not bear, break forth into singing, cry aloud. Enlarge the place of your tent, okay? The place of your bet, that's the house inside of the mouth. Enlarge that place, okay? This is where our spirit lives right here. Enlarge in the spirit is what he's saying. Be stretched out. Let those curtains of your habitation be stretched out. And do not hold back. Do not hold back. Give it your all. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. I'm going to go to 1 Chronicles 16. And this is when David and Israel brought up the ark of God and set it inside the tent, the bet, that David had pitched for it. And in 1 Samuel 4, it talks about the battle that they were in with the Philistines, and the Philistines, you know, defeated them, and they captured the ark and took the ark away from, you know, Israel. And when Eli, he was the priest at that time, when he heard it, he fell over dead. He broke his neck and died. And he had a daughter-in-law, and she was about to give birth. And so when she heard, you know, that the ark had been captured, she was distressed, and she named her son Ichabod. We all know that word, right? Ichabod, what does that mean? Okay, yes. Can you imagine naming your son, the glory has departed? Oh, here comes the glory has departed. That is so sad, I know. However, that's what happened, and that's true, you know. So, yeah. So, you know, what are we birthing? You know, are we birthing Ichabod or are we birthing the presence of God? Yeah. But that's why we have to enlarge the place of our tent, you know, and this is in our daily. Okay, so grow in the spirit, you know, make room for God. When Elijah was walking through the land, the Shulamite woman built him a room, you know, they built an addition on the top of the house for Elijah. I mean, it's a type of making room for God. So sometimes it's going to cost us something. It's not always, you know, there's a price to make room for God. It's sacrifice. You know, what I want to do, God wants me to do something different. I have to take the time to step aside and do what it is he wants me to do. Making room, you know, in your house for God. But the benefits was she was taken care of. Her son died. Her son got raised back. All kinds of miracles, signs and wonders and provision happen when you make this kind of a room for God in your house. So there was a tabernacle of David. Okay, the tent that that David pitched. It's called the tabernacle of David, and David means beloved. So he was very beloved of God. He was a friend of God. So this is not referring to a religious system or anything like that or structure, but it's referring to an intimate relationship, the presence of God day and night that was going on in that tabernacle. Okay, it's just, again, this tabernacle is right here. Yes, we're seated in heavenly places, but God says, your will be done. Your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven through here. Through in us. Yes, in here, we're in heavenly places, and heavenly places is in us. So the house of God is right here. It's his temple. This is where he dwells, right here inside of us. So, and what did Jesus say flows from right here? Rivers of living water. So we have to honor that flow. You have to honor the flow when it flows. The new thing that God was talking about last week was he was creating new, he was making pathway in the desert and rivers, he's all smiling, rivers in the dry wasteland, okay? Rivers, where do they come from? They come from our bellies. They come from within, inside of us. So, hello, River House. Y'all got a river in your belly? We got a river in our belly. Okay, let that river flow. Honor that flow because it's a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. David, the king, pitches a tent, a dwelling for God, and appointed some Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord. And to what? To invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. So you see the king and the priest together, okay? We're kings and priests. You see king and priest interwoven together already as a foreshadowing. So then Asaph, he was the chief or the worship leader, and he was a Levite. Jehaziel. Jehaziel, the guy that spoke up in Jehoshaphat, he was from the descendants of Asaph, which is a Levite, a priest. And so he prophesied. So the lineage of Asaph is a prophetic anointing. There's a prophetic anointing on Asaph. There were three worship leaders that David appointed. In the tabernacle of David, in the tent. He appointed a whole worship team to play instruments as well. But again, Asaph was to sound the cymbals. And cymbals represent, you know, a loud sound to cause to hear, to cause to proclaim, and to announce. I know you guys are probably wondering, why am I telling you all this? The reason I'm telling you all this is because I feel like this is what God is definitely raising us up here in this house. So hang in there before you go to sleep. Can I get that next picture one more time? The one with the KC and the chief? got it already. Okay. Anyway, so the symbols, Isaiah 30, verse 32 says, starting in verse 30, basically it says, and the Lord will make his majestic voice be heard. And then in 32, in every stroke of the appointed staff that the Lord lays on them, the enemy, will be to the sound of tambourines and harps, battling with brandished arm, he will fight with them. Don't you see a brandished arm right there? Okay. So, you know, it's just a prophetic picture of where we're at and where we're going, okay? The chiefs won, y'all, okay? The prophecy was if the chiefs are going to win, God is going to raise up apostolic chiefs. There's going to be revival. Anyway, these chiefs, they're powerful. And, you know, in our worship, our portion, you know, as, you know, our tabernacle of David, because tabernacle of, well, I'll go get there in a minute. Anyway, the KC, like I said, you know, the Lord said, this stands for kingdom culture, okay? This is the kingdom culture here. And so when we're playing music, you know, and especially the cymbals or the harps, you know, stringed instruments, it's like every stroke is being laid upon the enemy to the sound of, you know, tambourines. And as we do that, and as we have a revelation of that, it's like the Lord is battling with us in our battle with brandished arm. He will fight for us. Is that cool? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Whew. Okay. I want to have a battle party one day. Anyway, so David appointed Thanksgiving to be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. Hey, brothers. Hey, Asaph. Hey, brothers. Anyway, so I want to give an example of the Song of David. That's the first song that he basically, you know, sang when he pitched the tent in 1 Chronicles 16. And basically, yeah, Tabernacle of David type of a song. So can you put that up there on the screen? So it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. So thanksgiving. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continuously. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute to Israel, as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as a portion for an inheritance. Ascribe to the Lord and glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in his splendor. So these are just descriptions of, you know, very specific of the way that David worshipped, you know, before the Lord. So in Isaiah 22:22, it says, I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open. So the house of David is a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. And this is, you know, a type and a symbol of the establishment of the government of Jesus Christ with judgment and with justice now and forever. And in 1 Kings 2:45, it says, the throne of David shall be established before you forever. I know I'm talking fast. So Jesus has given us that same key, okay? That's, we're included in that already because of the lineage in Christ, which was, you know, through Judah, through David. The throne is promised to be established forever, you know? So God, Jesus has given us the same key to open things in the spirit and to shut things in the spirit. And it says, you know, open things that no man can shut and shut things that no man can open. It's the same as in Matthew 18:18, you know, he's given us authority, you know, to bind, you know, and whatever you bind here on earth shall already have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose here on earth will be already loosed in heaven. It's just a New Testament version. So anyway, there is a house inside our mouth. And it's very key this year and this decade that we use that mouth from the place of the house to speak. It's a time to speak out what God is saying. Speak his word. Sing aloud, you know. Declare his praises and his power. And it's time to see beyond the natural realm and to speak forth, you know, from that supernatural place of the house of the power of the Spirit and establish the government of Jesus Christ here on earth with judgment and justice. So it's time to enlarge the place of our tent, okay? That tabernacle, that temple where God dwells, that place of worship. It's time to open our pay, our mouth, to speak forth, to decree, to declare, and to sing. And can I have the violin to come back up, Megan? And can I get, I'm sorry, what did I say? I did. Oh, no, Reagan. Sorry. Okay, what I'm hearing from the Lord is recommissioning. And I just want to just release that word. If there's anyone else that feels like you're kind of in a season where you're just feeling the Lord come afresh to recommission you, if you feel like, you know, you've kind of been out of commission and the Lord is calling you again to come back into commission. I feel like there is a time right now where God is calling and recommissioning his people. So we are a prophetic house. You know, when I first stood on this piece of property, when we were considering, you know, getting this house, and I stood there and I prayed, I felt the wind of the Spirit. I felt the wind of the Spirit on me. And I saw myself in the house prophesying. So that was my picture and my word from the Lord that this was our house. And then at our first worship and prayer meeting, when we were still remodeling and cleaning up in here, I got the word from the Lord about this house. One portion of this house being the tabernacle of David, a type of tabernacle of David. And I know Lena Jones prophesied that over the worship team also. I don't have there been any more words from anybody else about that. Okay, so several times. Okay. All right. So, okay, this is why we're going here. So the other word that I got that first day, which is what we're going to, I'm going to speak that and release that. And can you put up the next words where it talks about Song of Songs 2? This is the prophetic declaration that the Lord gave me to speak and release the very first time that we actually came together to pray and worship in the big mess. So as I speak that, you know, receive that as the word of the Lord. Don't receive that as me speaking. Receive an impartation and receive an invitation. And respond to the Lord if any of this speaks to you. If you need healing, if you still feel like you need some healing and you want to have some prayer ministry, if you feel like you want to recommit or be recommissioned, you know, just respond and just come around the center, you know, because this just feels like the house, the pay, I mean the tent, you know, just come into his presence and stand before him to receive what it is he wants to give you. So, okay. The one I love calls to me. Arise, my dearest, dearest darling. Hurry, hurry, my darling. Come away with me. I have come as you have asked to draw you to my heart and lead you out. For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended. And the season of hiding is over and gone. The season for singing and pruning the vines has come. I hear the cooing of doves in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken you and guide you forth. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. The budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. The fragrance of their flowers whispers. There's change in the air. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. For you are my dove, hidden in the split open rock. It was I who took you and hid you up high in the secret stairway of the sky. Let me see your radiant face and hear your sweet voice. How beautiful your eyes of worship and lovely your voice in prayer. You must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. For they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you.